Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Thursday, the day we try to live out and apply what we've been learning all week. And this week we've been learning about an encounter between some early Christian leaders, Paul and Barnabas, and a small town who worshipped many different gods, the town of Lystra. We're calling it Pioneers and Pagans. We left off yesterday with Paul trying to desperately explain to the people of Lystra why they shouldn't go and sacrifice a couple oxen to Zeus, because they had believed that Paul and Barnabas were Zeus and Hermes visiting their small town because they healed a man there. And Paul is desperately trying to explain, no, 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 that's not who we are. Stop, don't worship us, we're just men. You should really worship the one true living God. So did it work? Did they actually stop? Well, the Bible says they just barely restrained themselves because of those words. Just barely prevented them from actually offering their sacrifices. And I'd love to know what happened next, where the story went from there, but unfortunately it's kind of interrupted, because the next thing that happens is this. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Well, as you can see, controversy followed Paul and Barnabas wherever they went. Even when they went to a small town with very few Jewish people in it, unfortunately some opponents, a subset of the Jewish people who were very opposed to the Christian message, came and attacked them for proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah and God. They would have believed this to be blasphemous, to claim that Jesus was God. That would have been a dangerous thing to do in Judaism. And despite Paul and Barnabas being Jews themselves, their fellow Jews, some of them simply couldn't countenance what was happening and followed them there basically to attack them. Outside the city, they thought Paul was dead, but apparently he wasn't. Maybe he was playing possum, I don't know. But either way, he returned back to the very places that the attack had happened. He went, as you can see in the story, right back to Lystra. He went back to the same town. Now, you know, the people who instigated the riot were from out of town, so maybe he felt it was safe to go there because they were gone, but obviously the crowd had still sided with the instigators at one point, so it wasn't a safe thing to do. And yet you can see the courage of these early Christians in proclaiming the good news of Jesus even when it was going to be dangerous to them. And how successful they were on that second attempt. After those tribulations, people would have definitely seen some of the commitment present in those two men. They could have seen that there was really something to this if Paul and Barnabas believed it so sincerely they would risk their lives to tell Lystra about it once again, even after the first time they got ran out of town and nearly killed. So what's the point of exploring this story today? Well, there are people in the world who believe in many, many gods. And you know what? There's probably some learning here on just how to communicate the good news of Jesus to those who believe in a pantheon of gods. There's probably some direct application there. But I think for a lot of us, the more obvious application has to do with the realities of modern life. Are that we can worship many things. They're probably not little gold statues, unless maybe you're an actor pursuing an Oscar, that might be your idol. You see, sometimes we can talk about idols as things we worship in place of God. It could be success, it could be fame, it could be money, it could be a certain kind of successful parenting, it could be a career, it could be any number of things. That could be alcohol, it could be drugs. There are always things in our lives that we are at risk of placing before God. We can prioritize them above God. We can worship them. See, there's only supposed to be one thing at the center of our lives. Sometimes I illustrate this as a wagon wheel. At the center of our lives, there's a spot that fits God and God alone. And then the spokes of the wagon wheel are all the other things in our lives that are often quite important. They're not necessarily bad things, but they're part of our lives, not meant to be the center of our lives. things like our sexuality, things like money, things like our careers. These are all decent things that God created, but when we abuse them, it's when we are like taking a spoke and trying to ram it into the center of the wheel as if it's a hub, as if it's going to fit God's place in our lives. And we might trick ourselves into thinking that'll work out, but sooner or later that wheel falls apart. Paul's speech to the people of Lystra centered on a transformation being offered to them. He called it a turning. He said, turn away from these things, these empty things, these worthless things, and turn to a living God. That was relevant for people who were actively worshiping other gods that they'd made with their own hands. It was also relevant for people who were actively worshiping other things in our lives. People like us, people worshiping money, success, safety and security in life. Whatever it might be, we can take something in this world, good as it might be, and elevate it to the status of God. And this is good news for us too, because the same encouragement applies to turn away from those worthless things and turn to the one thing that has more worth than anything else in this world, worshiping the one true living God. And then all those other things can be properly ordered in our lives. Our health, our sexuality, our money, our careers, those all have a place. But when the center of our life is wrong, they can't take their proper place. We need the center of our life to be in order, that hub of the wheel, so the spokes can take their appropriate places around that hub. So they can be ordered. We have to have the center of life ordered first. So what Paul says to the people of Lystra is turn. We've talked about turning as repenting before, right? It means to turn and go a new direction in life. He says, stop worshiping those empty things and start worshiping God, the one true living God. And then a lot of the things that you've been pursuing will start to get sorted out in your life as well. This is really important if you're exploring what it might mean to follow Jesus, or even if you've been following Jesus for some time, because we can be really tempted to do what the people of Lystra wanted to do. We could be tempted to try to add Jesus to our lives. Remember on Monday I talked about weight loss pills and things like that, that claim you just need to add something to your life. You don't need to take anything away and stop eating certain foods. Just add our pill, have our surgery, we'll fix you up, you'll be fine. When often what we need to do is stop, reassess, and reset our lives. Well, in the same way we can do that with Jesus. We can say, you know what, this Jesus guy sounds good. I think I'll add him to my pantheon of gods. I'm going to keep pursuing money. I'm going to keep pursuing a certain kind of sexuality. I'm going to keep pursuing all these things that I was already doing. And I'm just going to add Jesus. We can think that way. But Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't think that way. Jesus wants to be at the center of our lives and then transform our lives from the inside out. So I've got a challenge for you to try to take on today. Something you can hopefully discuss with your community around you, your small group who are discussing these challenges with you, and then try to live out and start changing in your life. Not just adding to your life, you might have to drop something else to do it. Here's a challenge I want you to think about first. What kinds of things in your life get in the way of worshiping only God? Have you ever tried to add Jesus to your life without changing anything else? Without putting him at the center of your life? If so, tell God you want to repent and turn and start a new direction in life. Commit to him alone and offer him all those other parts of your life to transform in his way rather than hanging on to them as if they're the most important thing. Well, I hope you'll discuss that with your friends and neighbors and colleagues and co-commuters, and that you'll actually try to live it out in your life, because it's one of the most important things you can consider. Anyway, have a great discussion, and I'll see you tomorrow as we take time to pray and reflect. Bye for now.